The Chodesh, we are on the top of 114a, Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. But let's just rewind a few words to get the beginning of the story again. The story started in Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Rav Yitzchak Bar Bismat Irach Sulei Maftechei Debei Midrasha. They lost the keys to the Beis Medrash Bereshit HaRavim Iner Shez Ravim Bishavasa on Shabbos. Also, the Kamei Rav Yitzchak came in front of Rav Pidas. Asked him, what exactly should we do? We lost the keys, we know where they are, they're in their Shifts Rabbim, and now it is prohibited to get them on Shabbos. So Amar Lei, Zil Dvar Tlei Vitalia. V'litai Luhasam. It's referring to children. Go bring them into that place, have them play around over there. Dimash Kechei Luhum Aisi Luhu. And maybe they'll find them and say, hey, whose keys are these? They'll pick them up and then bring them in. Alma Kasavar, and therefore you'll get your keys back. Alma Kasavar, Ein. Alma Kasavar, Katan Ochel Nevelos, Ein Basin Mitzuvah Nafrisho. This is a general concept we mentioned yesterday, or at least we alluded to one part of it yesterday. That a child who's eating the vela, you don't have to stop them from eating it. So the Gemara says, Lem Mesaile. Maybe the following brisa supports that concept that you don't have to stop a child from violating an iser. Lo yomar adam latino kaveli maftech o haveli chosam. You cannot say to a child, one who's not yet obligated in mitzvos, of course, that they should bring you a key or bring you a signet,
a seal.
Ela manicho tolish manicho zorek. Rather, just leave it be. Hold on. You can't tell them to do something, but let them uproot something from the ground or let them throw something. You don't have to stop them. Same thing. Amar Avaye Tolesh Be'atit She'enu Nakev. Zoreg b'karmelis d'rabanan. So Abaye comes along and says, maybe those cases are only d'rabanan, not d'oraisas. One is where you're picking up a pot, which is not perforated, so therefore there's no nutrients growing from the ground into the pot, and therefore when you take it off the ground, it's not really considered to be harvesting. It's not katsira. So the Gemara says, fine. Tashema, oh, the Gemara Shavel Chabos, in Ormelo Kabe. This is a Mishnah in Shabbos. That if a non-Jew came to put out a fire, you can't say, can you put out this fire? And alternatively, you can't say, you can also not say, don't put it out. He's not doing anything for us. It's not our responsibility in terms of him resting on Shabbos. If a child comes along to put out a fire, so then you do have to stop them. So that, it seems like, means that we should actively try to prevent the child's violation of halacha. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, but Osal Das Aviv. The only reason that that's a problem is because the child is doing it for his father. This, I believe, is actually a misnomer. Although you have to do it, you can still do it in more tricky ways. If someone turns a light on or something turns a light off in your house, you can't tell your child, go do it. That's still usher, right? Your child is working on your behalf. Just because they're 5 years old doesn't mean that they can do Zoom for you, right? When the pasuk says, ata uvincha ubitecha, you, your son and your daughter, what it means is, even a son who's a child is not allowed to do work for you on Shabbos, just like your animal can't do work for you on Shabbos. So if they do it on their own, that's a different story. Here what it's saying is, if you're being osal das aviv, you're doing something on behalf of your parent, it's still usher on behalf of, because of the parent. So Gemara says, the kavasei, so here, it's not necessarily clear that the child, that every child who ever does an iser, we have to prevent them from doing that. However, when a child is doing it because of the father, because of the parent, so then we have to stop them from doing that. Right. Well, yeah, depends on the situation. But yeah. The Kavasei Gabe Ovid Kochavim, the Osel Das Yisrael Mishari. So,
it's interesting here because Ovid Kochavim, the taxpayer, the going.
Yeah, right.
And
Same. We've
so,
seen that over and over from the Koran.
I know, but in this case, it's a very different halakha. It doesn't matter whether he's an Ovi.
That's true. That's
so
true.
Chavim or not,
yeah.
The halakha definitely would be different.
Yeah.
This would suggest a fervent, you know, strictly
monotheistic yeah.
Muslim can be allowed.
Oh, right. Serve. Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. You know, for sure this does not mean a literal idol worshiper, for sure not. But if they were to do, a non-Jew were to do something on behalf of a Jew, so it would be the same thing. So why is it that when the non-Jew came to put out the fire, we did not tell them to stop? So the Gemara says, "Ovi kuchavim," but that's the nafshi of it. Even if they're coming somewhat on our behalf, because clearly the fire is in our house, nonetheless, we assume that the non-Jew is doing it for himself, or herself. So Shema, at least to some extent, not like a child would be doing it. Tashima ben chaver shragalele chesu avi aimo im amharet, that the child of someone who's typically scrupulous about keeping trumas and maestros, that's a chaver, I think, right? The child usually goes next to his mother's father, who is an amharet, an ignoramus. Ein choshesh in shemayach ilanu. We don't have to worry that the grandfather is going to feed him things that are not trumas and maestros, that are not properly tithed. But matza biyado peros, however, and if we find him with fruit in his hands, which he got from his grandfather, ein zakik lo, we don't have to stop him from doing that. Rabbi Yochanan b'dmahe kelu, right? Again, Rabbi Yochanan comes along to say that this is not the greatest of proofs that we don't prevent the child from violating the potential issur d'oraisa, because here we know that when it comes to the am haaretz, that they'll do blessed, they'll do the truma d'oraisa. And d'mai is only us, d'mai, which is the product of an am haaretz fields, because we assume that they did the daraisas, so then that fruit is only midrabbana. So the Gemara says, Alatama, may the reason for Rabbi Yochanan's demai, the only reason is because it's demai. Havadai ba'ilasure. If it was absolutely tevel, it was absolutely obligated in tithing, so then it would be okay. Sorry, it would be necessary to tithe, despite the fact that the child brought it home. V'ham Rabbi Yochanan v'osa das aviv. But doesn't Rabbi Yochanan think that the child is still problematic if it is done for the parent? Basically, I think what it means is that the Brisa didn't make any distinctions there. It didn't say that it was only by demai, but by daraisa it would be okay. Presumably, according to that logic, though, it would be the case that you're not allowed to let the child do anything against the Torah, because the implication would be that if the child came home with fruit in its hand, in their hand, so then we would still require to do meiser. To take meiser, which is the daraisa, and thereby it would prove by implication that you have to tithe it. But wasn't Rabbi Yochanan the same one who said that the child is only unable to do an issur daraisa? We only allow the child to continue doing an issur daraisa when he's not doing it for the sake of the father? Meaning that in this case, why are we stopping him from doing an issur daraisa? He's not doing it for his father. He's not eating truma because of his father. Ella Rabbi Yochanan sabuk misafkale kai hachem adchi kai hachem adchi. Right. Either way, Rabbi Yochanan is going to try and prevent the child from doing this daraisa for one reason or another. It's just that he's a besafik, so therefore he's machmir in all cases. There's no real proof to say that we have to stop the child from violating an issur, or that we should or that we should allow him necessarily. Same exact thing. Gemara says, does that not prove to us that we don't have to prevent a child from doing something which could be asur midaraisa? Does Gemara know? The truma derabanan. You could explain that braisa as referring to only the derabanan case of truma, in which case you can't prove from there that we allow children to do asur midaraisa. Tashema az yonek tinok v'holchem avodas kovim behemet tamea. That a child is allowed to breastfeed? Does that mean breastfeed?
It says nurse. Yeah.
Nurse. Nurse from a is that referring to nursing from a non-Jew?
Yeah.
Got a weird note in here.
Well, this is from an idolatrous and from a non-kosher animal.
Yeah, okay. I have a dangling modifier in my car. Yeah, okay. The animal should be on its shekets. And we don't have to worry that maybe the child is of the fact that they're eating from disgustingness, meaning the non-Jew, or straight from the animal. However, we can't actively give them any problematic foods. But if they did it on their own, we have to stop them. Umikulan, and from all of those that are us there, Yonik Mehem, Vafil Shabbos, all of those that are us there, they're still allowed to suckle on them even on Shabbos. It's unclear what exactly the issue of milking is, but either way, the child is allowed to do that on all situations. Uvigadol, and with a child, and with a gadol, a full-fledged 13-year-old? Yeah. An adult, or someone who's obligated in the mitzvos. So then, aser, you're not allowed to do these things. Even the technically obligated in the mitzvos children would still nurse from an animal on Yom Tov. Yeah, full blown. I just don't think you're
12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 40-year-olds.
Right.
Are accustomed.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it means, but yeah. No hagin hayinu. We had the custom, it sounds like. But katani miha and choshim beyond a checkout. We're not worried about the child, you know, nursing from these sort of unpleasant places. The impression you get is that it's an Isser Daraisa. Hasa mishum
satan. Well, milk of a behemoth tamea is itself in the nevela. It's not, I don't know what you call it, but milk from a camel. The practical case is camel.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe horse.
Camel's milk, yeah.
I mean, those are the only ones.
I mean, those.
To my knowledge, I've ever used horse and camel.
Okay.
But you're not allowed to have those.
Presumably. Yeah, Rashi and Bechorah says it's actually the case of the book Gemara and Bechorah says Gamal is a camel. Okay, so Gemara says, no, Hasam Hashem Sakana. The reason why the child's allowed to do that is because the child needs to. Is that the child's first resort is to go to a non-Jew or to a non-kosher animal? Of course not. So then it must be an extenuating circumstance. Gemara says, Ihach Yigadol Nami. So then why does the Bryce continue to say that if you're an adult child, you should not do these things if you need it? If it's pikuach nefesh, then it's pikuach nefesh for the gadol also. So when it says no gadol bayi umdina, the child who's older, or not the child who's older, but the adult who might need to do that still needs to check whether it's absolutely necessary. So the child should also require some kind of evaluation if they're able to do something which is so problematic. When it comes to a child who's breastfeeding, so then we assume that the child is in danger and needs to eat. Whereas the gadol, we assume that's not necessarily the case anymore. They don't have to breastfeed anymore at 13. Okay, in the end of the day, we have no absolute proof to say that we have to prevent children from doing Yisurim or that we can let them do Yisurim. Avashalomer, Nogin Hayun Shayonik, Mehemet Tomber, but Yom Tov. Say, Chidami, what's the situation? How could it be that they were nursing, or not nursing, suckling from a from an animal directly on Yom Tov? So why would you say only Yantif? Even on Shabbos you could do that if it's absolutely necessary for a person's life. If there's no actual, you know, threat to the person's life, so why would you ever do it on Yantif? This person was in some kind of pain. Because it's a indirect way of doing what's called prika, unloading, which I believe is a holda of disha. But in this way, it's not a normal way of doing it. It's not a normal way of prika. Usually prika would mean that you would squeeze it with your hands into a cup and then you drink it or something like that. Here it's not, you're doing it directly, I guess. Shabbos de Isser Skila Gazra Banan. When it comes to Shabbos, which itself is an Isser Skila to do so, so that the actual Malacha on Shabbos, to do it in its normal way. So then Gazra Banan, so then the rabbis came along and said that you can't do it even in an abnormal way on Shabbos. Yom Tov, however, the Isser Lav, that when it comes to Yantif, the Isser is only an Isser, it's a Stam Isser of the Torah, and does not carry the punishment of Skila. So then Lo Gazra Banan. So did not make a decree against it to do it on Yantif. Okay. Hashema, back to the children thing. You should not eat these, I guess it's bugs. Yeah. You shouldn't eat bugs because they're disgusting. Lo tachilum. Lo tachilum. What does that mean? You should not feed them? Right, feed them. The adults shouldn't give to the children. My love. The amar luhu lo seichlu. Doesn't that mean you should say to the children, don't eat that? Lo, so lo, lispuluhu biyadayim. What it means is, you don't give it to them directly. But if they were to eat bugs, so let them eat bugs. Maybe you want to stop them from eating bugs regardless. So tashema, kondashimakem lo sochadam, the pasuk says, v'hikred gidzayin. That a person should not eat dam. V'hazak adol ma'akatanam, I love, the armad luhu lo, lo, so lo, lispuluhu biyadayim. Maybe the same drasha could apply from blood and say, no, what it means is, if they're eating it, let them eat it. You don't have to stop them from eating it, but you shouldn't give it to them automatically, directly. Tashema and more via Marta. This phrase, Bahazir Gdol Maktan, is most famous for this Rasha that Rasha brings down. The beginning of Parshas Amor, that is the Tuma Daraisa of a Kohen. And you have to teach the children not to become Tamei Elsa. My love, the Amar Luhu, Lo Titamu, Lo, the Lo Litamu Luhu Biadayim. You shouldn't cause them to become Tamei. But that doesn't mean you have to stop them from becoming Tamei if they're going into a cemetery or something. Where it says, Utrichi, and we have to learn all three of the cases of the bug, the blood, and the dead. Utrichi, the Ashman, Shkatsim, if you only teach the bug, Mishim, the Yisuran, B'mashahu, because the Isra of a bug is only even the smallest little bit of a bug, is already Isra Kadash, a lentil size of Adam, to Adik Revius. But when it comes to blood, where it's even more, so maybe you would have to stop them because it's a bigger amount. Or maybe because the measurement is bigger, we're not as worried that the child is going to violate it, something like that. V'yashmin and dam, and if you would only be talking about blood, mishum di'ika karis, that's because there's karis for violating it. Al shrasim, emalot. But when it comes to the Isser of eating bugs, it's only with lashes. The punishment's only lashes, so maybe you wouldn't require a person to stop them. V'yashmin and hayitark, and if you would say, the yisurim of bugs and blood, and maybe you could learn out tumah from them. Mishum the yisurim shava b'kol. Those are things that everybody has to follow. No one's allowed to eat blood, and no one's allowed to eat bugs. About tumah aim alo, but when it comes to the tumah of a kohen, so only kohanim half are responsible for that, and therefore you can't learn that from the other. V'yashminim tumah. What if you learn the tumah one? Kohanim shani mishum the Riba behind mitzvah siseros. The Kohanim always has special halachos, so maybe you think this is one of them. If you only taught the concept of not causing a child's kohen to become tameh, so you would think that the bugs and the blood would be okay, because that thing by the Kohanim is just because Kohanim have all these other exceptional halachos. Avalhani emalo. So maybe the blood and the bugs you would think don't have that same restriction that you can't give it to them directly. So tzricha. That's why you have to teach all three cases. But you can't teach them directly. We missed a couple combinations in there. What about tumah and blood? Or tumah and bugs there? Presumably you could have came up with a drash there too. But okay. Tashima. Back to Yavama. Tashima shnei achim, two brothers. Echad pikach ve'echad cheresh. One of the brothers is a deaf mute and one of them is not. Nesu l'shteach yos pichos. And they're married to two non-deaf mute women. Meis cheresh ba pikacha. The deaf mute man dies. I don't know why it says ba pikacha. They're both bali pikacha. They're both married to non-deaf mute. But okay, ma yasa bikach ba pikacha. What should the one who's always been married to a non-deaf mute? What should he do? Because at the same time that he's full-fledged married to this woman, he has the sister of his wife coming to him from a illegitimate marriage. So then Tesi Vishamachusisha, she's still his wife's sister, and therefore you cannot get married. It's an erva. Therefore there's no obligation to give him. Mes bikach ba bikachas. Maya se. Let's say the non-deaf mute husband dies. Maya se chirish ba bikachas. Now we've got a problem, because he's in not illegitimate marriage, but not a daraisa marriage. He's in a drabanan marriage, given that he's a deaf mute. And now his wife's sister, his quasi-wife's sister, is falling to him in Yibam. So Moses, he still begets. He has to divorce his presumed wife, which is only midrabanan. The Eshes Achav Asur L'Olam. The Cheresh can't do chalitza because he can't say the words for chalitza, and he can't do yibum because midrabanan, it's an iser erva midrabanan. It is his proverbial wife, not proverbial, his quasi-wife's sister. So now he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. He can't be with either woman. So he goes, wait a second, why does he have to get divorced? Beget. Ketez gabe, let them continue to be married, even if there's an achos zekukaso. Right? The reason why he can't stay married to his quasi wife is because now he has the yivama falling to him from that yivam situation, which is an iser d'oraisa to be with anybody else. And in this derisa to be with any relatives of that woman. So this woman, his quasi wife, is a relative of that woman, of the Yavama. That's what we call achos zikuzasto. But the Gemara says, wait a second, kato ochan avelosu. If a child is allowed to continue doing an iser, so then why are we stopping the cheresh from continuing to do an iser? The cheresh is similarly not obligated in a mitzvah like the child. The Gemara says, Mishum Isura Dita. Wait a second. Very good for the man. The man's deaf mute. What about her? What do you think about the woman? The woman also has rights. The woman also has Isurim that she has to avoid. So it's true that he wouldn't have necessarily a problem, but she has a problem. She's obligated in the mitzvah, and she can't be with someone who's obligated to do Yibam with her sister. Says the Gemara, Tashma Shneach and Pichin Isu Nishtechios. Two, everything normal. Achas. No, the men are non-deaf mutes, but one woman is deaf mute, one's not. Meis bikach ba'al chereshas, mayas bikach ba'al pikachas, teitzim shemachos isha. Same exact case. the pikeach, not the same exact case, but pikeach who is married midrabanan to a deaf mute dies, and then the brother who's married to a full fledged, you know, not non deaf mute, is now becoming sort of obligated midrabanan in Yibam. So then that girl who's fallen to him, the deaf mute girl from his brother, she just goes free because she's Achlishis, the sister of his wife. However, Meis Pikach B'Pikachas, if the non-deaf mute husband dies, the non-deaf mute woman's husband dies, so Ma'ayas B'Pikach B'Achirashas, so that again, Motzias Ishto B'Ket V'Eshesach B'Chalitza. He, because he is not a Cheresh, so he can do Chalitza in this case. He can't do Yivam because it's Achlas B'Kasa, at least Midrabanan. Not even German, Midaraisa. That woman that falls to him is a full-fledged Daraisa case of Yibam. The thing is that he's married Midrabanan to her sister, and therefore it's a Midrabanan Achos Ishto, Achos Ugasa. Stay with the deaf-mute woman. Yeah. So then you have to give a get, and then you have to Midrabanan. And then the sister-in-law, who was fully married to his brother, so then he has to do chalitza with her. So the Gemara says, "Am I most yasish to the get teitzav gavei katan ochan ve'osu?" Says again, "Mishum yisur didei." Why would we make her get divorced? Presumably, she's a deaf mute and therefore is not obligated to mitzvos because he has an obligation to not be with her. She's achos v'gasov. Amrava Tashmash Neachnit Echad Cheresh Vechad Pikach Nisunish Deachios Achvas Vachas Chereshes, that the deaf mute is married to deaf mute and non deaf mute married to non deaf mute. Meis Cheresh Bach Chereshes Mayaseh Pikach Bach Pikachas Teitzim Shumachas Ishto, same thing. Meis Pikach Bach Pikachas Mayaseh Cheresh Bach Chereshes Mosi Sish Vegev Yeshadach Asur Lolam. So here you have to get divorced from the deaf mute. The deaf mute gets divorced from the deaf mute wife so that he could not be with his achos ugasso. And then you have the sister-in-law, which is falling to him in Yibam, he can't be with her either because it's Rabbanan. That's achos kirushasso. That's the sister of his divorcee. V'ha'acha says the Gemara, delav yisur didaika, v'lav yisur didaika, v'getani motis ishto v'get. Why can't the cheresh and the cheresha stay married? They're only obligated to midrabban. They're not obligated midaraisa and mitzvos, and therefore let them be. Let them maintain their marriage. So Amar Rav Shmaya gezer mishum hatarasi v'amloshuk. You guys seen this coming from a mile away. Now we don't want people looking at adults and saying, "Hey, look, this guy's being with a wife that's not his obligatory vama," or she's not being with the husband that she's supposed to be with midaraisa, and therefore we don't want people thinking that the Yavama is allowed to go marry somebody else, and therefore even a Cheresh and a Cheresha can't stay married. Something like that. I'm interested why the Gemara doesn't continue that conversation, because there's other things that I can think of to respond, but okay. Ha'isha shahacha hiu ba'alim diyasiyah. Oh, sorry. Hadron ala Cheresh. Let's finish the parish of Cheresh. Parak Hamisha Asar, 15th chapter. Haisha, which is called Haisha Shalom. Haisha Shalachah Hiu Ba'ala Medina Sayam. That the husband and wife go on vacation somewhere. And Shalom Beino Levena. From all impressions that people have, they're a happy couple. The Shalom Ba'olam. And there's no problem generally in the world. Okay. Ubava Amra Meis Bali. She comes back and says, "My husband died." So then Tinasa, she can get married. We assume she's telling the truth because there's no reason otherwise. However, Meis Bali.
Likewise.
Oh, okay. I don't know why it doesn't say Tinasei Utsis Yavim, but it says if it was a Yibum case, so she would also do Yibum. Shalom bina levina melchama ba'olam. If they had a happy marriage from all looks of it, and there is a war going on, so then ketata bina levina, or there is fights going between them, shalom ba'olam, even if there is peace in the world, ubasva amra, and she came and said, meis ba'ali, she is not believed in either situation because there is a reason for her to lie. I'm not sure what the milchama ba'olam has to do with this.
She may be mistaken or lying. My guess is the milchama ba'olam is she might be mistaken. You know?
That her husband might have died, but some other soldier died.
Maybe he was grabbed for the kidnapped for the army.
Right, maybe he's taken captive, or maybe he was wounded or something. You know. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, la'olam enen emes el in kein basa bocha ubegadak ruin. The only time we'll ever believe her if she has clear indications of mourning. Her clothing is ripped. She's crying. I don't know how long she has to do that for. She's coming from overseas. Amru lo achazu v'achazu. If she has either one of them, so Tina says she should get married. I don't know what that means, either one of them. They said
whether
she didn't have to either one.
Whether she's crying or not crying.
Oh, whether she's crying or not crying. I thought it meant whether she has torn clothing or she's crying. You're saying regardless of whether she's crying or not. Yeah, that's the beginning of the Mishnah. Basically, she doesn't need to be crying or torn clothing for those to be enough to believe her. Says the Gemara, Tana Shalom Beinu Levena, Mishim Tekvayel Misni, Ketat Beinu Levena, Tana Shalom Ba'olam. Oops, my Gemara ran out of words. Tana Shalom Ba'olam, Mishim Tekvayel Misni, Melchama Ba'olam. So the reason why it says at the beginning is because everything's fine. Usually the Gemara doesn't say, oh, by the way, everything's fine, and then tells us the case. It's only because the end of the Mishnah tells us where it's not everything's fine that it starts off the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amrav my time in the Milchama. What's the reason for the Milchama? Shum the Amra v'didami sakadaita b'chol hani d'iktol hu palit. That we would think and maybe she got confused. She didn't see him explicitly, but she thought, among all these people that died, he must have died, because he's not home. Is that what it's saying? Sagadaita b'chol hani dikto hu palit. Are we to say that he did survive? Okay, what's the case? Meaning, are we worrying for the off chance that maybe this guy survived? Like, what's the case? Rava believes that a famine is not like a war. She can't make the claim that it seems like he died. She won't do it. Right. She wouldn't make such a claim. So Hada Amarava, Ravon Harehu Kimokama, Dahi, the Ist Asafakame de Rava Amrale. There was a woman that once came to him and asked and said, Vali Mes Barab, my husband died in famine. So Amrale said, Shapira Vadata, the Shizvat Nafshech. Shizvat Nafshech means that you left him. Oh, Shapir Avada, the Shivas Nashir. You left him.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says, Sakadaitas Libahu Porta Dinavafit Dinisafisa Dishavkas Lay Havechaye. If you would give him a little flour, he would have survived. So Amalei Mar Nami Yada. Mar Nami Yada, you knew better? Right. So Rava figured it out.
Rava keeps changing his mind.
Rava changes his mind? Or she changes his mind?
First Rava says that famine is not like war.
Right, well, okay, in terms
and
of that.
Now he's saying famine is like war. She didn't make a mistake. And now he's about to change his mind again.
So Hada Amar Rava. Wait, why Rava is saying that famine is like war to the extent you could believe her?
In war, you might say, I know he's dead.
Right, I get that.
And so Rava at first says, no, famine's not. You're not going to make a mistake in case of famine. You're going to be there.
I mean, the Gemara doesn't finish the story. Rava believes her in the story at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Right, so that's why he changed his mind. The Gemara doesn't say it explicitly, but...
Rava doesn't believe her. Rava thinks he might still be alive.
I know, but by the end of the story, when she says...
According to Rabbi Steinsaltz, Rava understands that she didn't actually see her husband die.
Right.
He was weak.
But nonetheless.
And so in other words,
and Rava believed her.
No, I think it's just like at war, she might be mistaken. So at war, I thought my husband died, but we don't believe her because she might be mistaken.
Well, then he didn't change his mind.
Well, I think that this is an intermediary step. It shows that he's starting to...
So the first thing is...
The war.
The first thing is, at war, we don't believe the testimony, not necessarily because she's lying, but because she just might be mistaken.
Right. Now...
You know, and so then comes the case of famine.
Famine.
So Rava says, no, with famine we can believe her because nobody's going to make a mistake in the case of famine. Either she died or not. So for famine, we do believe her. Then he changes his mind.
Yeah, no, that means that Rava changed his mind, because before he said that famine is not a good enough reason to believe her.
No, I think he said famine was a good enough
reason. He said that the second time.
No, I think in this case...
Sava Rava Lememar Ravon Eno Kamachama. And then changed his mind, and the Hadar Amar Rava Ravon Harihil Kamachama, because of this woman's story. And now we're saying, no, Hadar Amar Rava, that famine is even worse than Muhammad.
Okay, so he's changed his mind. Right, so...
He's believing more and more.
Right.
He's not changing his mind. Okay, we'll pick up tomorrow.